Hello and welcome to Audible River. I'm Alan Rice, and I am very happy to have with me Akashiana Hilda Bars, medicine woman, healer, and spiritual guide, who is sharing her lifetime of experience and wisdom to help others in their journey to find their own capacity for self-healing and self-mastery. Hello, Akashiana. It's very good to see you today.
Thank you, Alan. I'm so happy to be here with you this morning.
Yes. You know, I want to start off by, you have a beautiful website, by the way. And if I go to behindbars.com, the very first thing I see is, your disease is a message from the universe. I would love to hear more about that. What can you tell me?
So there's, everything is energy and frequency and sound in our bodies and in the universe as a whole. And when I got the message of cancer in 2014, so it's been 10 years now,
wow,
I went into a very deep introspection of what this was here for, because I was just not the cancer type. You mm-hmm. know, there was a sense of, you know, I was not distressed. I wasn't, you know, seemingly angry or anything that would cause this to happen. So I went through a very deep cathartic state of inquiry. And what I found is that our soul comes and incarnates in a physical body form. And when we are not in our, on our path, or, you know, really exploring our soul's purpose, then the messenger comes. And it could be disease, it could be, you know, an accident, it could be anything in your life that disrupts your life to wake you up to a greater sense of knowing and being.
I can relate to that. I can see that as, okay, I want to break this down and get into it a little bit deeper, how this works and how it looks maybe in different people's lives. I mean, this is something important, I think, to understand. I have a bunch of things that come to mind at once. I can understand that if we come into this world with an essential nature that is unique to us, and somehow we are encountering impediments, and we've made choices that go against our nature for whatever reason, you know, it could be, you know, trying to adapt to the world we're in, whatever, that we're creating a conflict. And you spoke of energy. And mm-hmm. so something energetic begins to go haywire, and that can create disease, or it can create things in our life that can have us encounter incidents, health issues that cause us to look again at what our path is. Why are we doing what are we doing? That kind of thing. Now, I understand that, but I think the question that I have here is, how does a person, how do you know it's a message and not just, I shouldn't drink so many Coca-Colas?
That's a good one. You know, there's always that choice in life of how we live our lifestyle and so forth. So I would give that a percentage, you know, a small percentage.
Yeah.
I've known people that smoked, you know, for 90, up till 93 years old, and they lived a long, pretty healthy life. So uh-huh. I think lifestyle does have some bearing on it. But more so, it's almost this sense of disconnection to why we're here. Like you said, we all are unique, and we all have a specific purpose here on this planet. We mm-hmm. come here to learn. We come here to expand. We come here to a greater sense of consciousness. So for me, you know, I can only speak for myself and for all those that I've worked with. Every single time, especially with cancer, there has been a specific event or trauma or a thinking, a certain pattern of thinking, a victim thinking, resentment, mm-hmm. those types of things that have created a disease, a dis-ease in their body. So just from the 25 years of working with people in this realm, I have literally been able to determine the cause or the pattern that was actually created in the body that brought them to this messenger.
So I'm very curious, without giving away if it's trade secrets or whatever. So how do you get to that? I mean, what is that process when you work with somebody? What can you tell us about that?
So I take the first call I do is 2 hours long, and it's actually a gift. Because I feel so strongly, and sometimes that 2 hour call is enough for someone to sit with somebody and be heard and acknowledged and really respected for their life and why they're here. And I write copious notes of patterns. I hear things like, you know, they'll say something about their father or their mother or their husband or their wife or something where I start to see, oh, this is, you know, a pattern of resentment. For me, breast cancer was around resentment. And so I'll have this almost like this energetic match where I can actually hear it and tone the frequency of cancer. And so, excuse me, I have a cold, so I'm just going to blow my nose here. So in that call, I determine and see, but I'm also watching their auric field. Sometimes there's some blocks or shadows or certain things. And so I'll be able to probe a little bit more into their life. And I would say all people that I've worked with over the 25 years, I've been able to thread that pattern and kind of find out where it actually started. And there's typically some level of trauma or the word would be, trauma is probably the best. Grief and trauma are usually the typical culprits, if you will, starting a pattern.
And trauma could be, you know, something grievous that happened, something that they felt it damaged them personally. And it could be a lot of different things, I imagine. But I mean, speaking for myself, I mean, when I think of trauma, I think of relationships. I think of other people. I mean, those are the kinds of traumas that I feel are the most damaging to me, or when, people that I trust hurt me in a way, like especially when you go back to as a child and coming forward and you're like building trust, and then something happens and kind of destroys your faith in what you thought was real. So it's, is this like the kind of thing that, okay, go ahead.
It's like, and it could be very grievous, and it also can be just this pattern of not feeling, let's just say your parents, you're looking in the mirror and your parent walks by and says, why are you looking at yourself? Why are you vain? Why, certain things. And you start to start having this sense of like, oh, I may be that, because you're being told that.
Right.
And you start to compensate for that. So you may not look in the mirror, or you may hide and look in the mirror. And something as simple as that could start a thread of inauthenticity, because you're no longer being able to do the things that, you know, you may be prompted to do or feel okay about doing. And so it could be very slight. My personal trauma came from several things, but the major trauma was my father died trying to save me there were three sisters in a river.
Goodness.
And when I was 15 years old, and that day that he died, we were actually going to go look for a farm, and my family, there were 13 kids in our family. And so it was a very large family, and we were going to look for a farm, and I went to church that morning there were eight of us on that journey that day. So we all went to church first, and I prayed fervently, God, please do something, anything, so I do not have to go live on a farm.
Oh, dear.
So when we were traveling to the farm, I saw a sign for a river. And I said, Dad, there's the Cimarron River. And we were living at the time in Oklahoma. And I said, could we stop at the river? And everybody was joyous to try to, you know, delay this journey to the farm. Mm-hmm. And so we stopped. And during that stop, I took my sisters in the river with me. And it was very calm and placid river. And then there was a drop, and it dropped like 13 to 15 feet. And we went into a swirl. And so in that tragedy, my father actually drowned, saving us. My sisters were okay. So that guilt.
Oh my goodness, that's I can't imagine what you might have felt.
Right. The shame and guilt that literally I took it on myself,
yeah,
Alan, in that moment that I caused that.
Because
a 15-year-old, you know, they think everything's about them, right?
Well, I can easily see that. I mean, what you just told me and how you had, you know, you had set up the intention of like, please do anything. And then, yeah, and then of course, and you were, oh my goodness. So, wow. So how long did you live with that before you realized that it was eating away at you?
Pretty much until yesterday.
it can hang on a while. Yes, sir.
It did. Actually, I written a book around this whole piece, okay, because what it did is it created a disconnection to my authentic self and my self-love.
Uh-huh.
And so the breasts are all about love and nurturance. And so it really created this pattern in me.
Mm-hmm.
And that was telling me in some way that, you know, you have to be uber responsible. You have to be this, you know, you have to be this way, that way. So nothing like that happens. So my life became very controlling. And what happens is it sets a pattern in your being where you can't even recognize your true self anymore.
Right.
So basically, I am kidding a little bit, but it was through a grandmother plant medicine ceremony, which I participated in, where I started seeing about 20 years ago, the effect of how that choice that I made as a 15-year-old girl affected my entire life up until that point. So I'm 63 now, so that would have been about 43 years old.
Wow. A long time. Okay, several things. You mentioned the plant medicine. I'm really curious about that experience, whatever it was, whatever you did, it opened up your awareness to see things in a different manner, I guess, right? To give you a different overview of yourself. And you had this new awareness of this pattern in you. There's that, but there's also things that I'm hearing from what you're talking about in the work that you do that I would say that you obviously have your own perceptions and skills and talents that you apparently were born with. I would, you know, I'm just throwing it out there. You can
yes,
confirm that. And so I'm curious about how the those two things, how you experience this ability that you have to see these patterns. When did you know this? How did you experience it through your life? And then this ceremony that you had, was that like a turning point in your life, or how would you describe it? Just take it from there, whatever you want to say.
So when I was a little girl, I was highly aware of energy.
Okay.
And we didn't call it energy, but there were little beings. You know, I would be in the woods a lot. I would be playing in nature. We were a huge family, so we always had playmates, you know, with us. So my sister and I would be out in the woods, and I could I could see the vibration, and I could see the almost it looked like you know how if there's smoke, there's these little flowing vibrations. I could see things like that. I would literally see spirits, little sprites and beings and fairies. And so I was very aware of it. It and I was raised Catholic, and so I knew not to speak of it because I didn't want to have an exorcism. I was going to be in trouble. So I was quiet about my gift and knowing even there was something that was called it was a Catholic ceremony where people would talk in tongues and I would have experiences where I would be talking in tongues and I thought, oh, this is strange, but I wasn't with my family. It was called Charismatic Catholic, my cousins. And then when the accident happened at 15, my gifts kind of shut down. I basically said, Mother Nature cannot be trusted. I'm going to go into, you know, inside. I'm going to start working. I started working at 15 years old. I was literally under fluorescent lighting. I was continuously not wanting to be outside and wanting to be in nature because it actually frightened me. This deep sense of I was not safe anymore. And then, so through that process, and then when I went through, you know, a relationship with my husband, we met in 1986, and I started feeling safer in that relationship. So I had bumpy relationships from 15 to, you know, 29. It was a roller coaster, you know, because of that. Anytime there's that type of trauma and the decisions that are made in your mind, you typically get further and further away from your true self,
right.
your due north. And so when he got sick with ALS, it started bringing me back to this healing realm, this realm of spirit, this realm of energy. And so I was searching, you know, for someone to help him with his disease.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he was a control freak. He was a military officer. He was a commander of Air Force bases in Spain. And what type of disease would a control freak get but Lou Gehrig's disease or something like that, where your mind is still perfectly intact, but your physical body becomes, you know, degrading. And so it was really, really horrible to watch him because he was an extreme athlete.
Mm-hmm.
But what I noticed in that relationship was if he could just let go, you know, let go of this control of having to be able to, you know, he would write out everything perfectly. He would check things off when he did them. His lists were amazing. And that's when I started getting back to that thought of, you know, our thoughts create our reality and our patterns actually create, you know, the life that we're, or the physical being and life that we're in.
Our thoughts create our reality. That's just a few words you threw out there, but that's like such a powerful thing to know.
It's like thoughts are very magnetic.
Uh-huh.
And since everything is energy, and if we're thinking it,
mm-hmm.
and that's why I feel like, you know, a lot of this programming, you know, that's happening right now, and it has been happening all along, is really important to be aware of. So if you know thyself, if you really truly know yourself, and you think not only positive thoughts, because I mean we have negative thoughts,
right.
We're human, but if we are in alignment with our true self and our soul self,
yeah,
then our thoughts start to align to that. But if we keep thinking, oh my God, that's why cancer, when cancer came, and I call it, you know, my dance with cancer.
Okay.
I knew, and I kept thinking, I am not going to die from this. I am literally going to find the path inward so that I can open up this treasure box of why cancer came. It was not like, oh. And I went from, you know, 150 pounds to 118 pounds. I mean, I looked like I was going to die.
Wow.
But I kept knowing that there was some reason why cancer came to visit. And that's what I wanted to find out. That those were my thoughts.
Wow. That's a little exciting to me, because it sounded like that you had a kind of decided certainty. It was like, by doing that, by living in that, that became your reality. Is that fair to say?
That's exactly right. And so the vision, because we are visionaries, each and every one of us. Uh-huh. And if we have a vision, I saw my grandchildren. I literally put that out into the future, and I said, I'm going to see my children graduate from high school. I'm going to see them get married. I am going to see that. And wow. I literally held that anchor point for myself. And then I did all the stuff that I needed to do to heal myself, because it's all the inside work. It's the inside job.
It's all inside. Yeah. I mean, the real work of who we are. I mean, this is really interesting. I love what you're doing, because the healing is not about, I mean, in your work, I'm just saying what I'm picking up. I mean, it isn't about, like, you know, treating the symptoms, or, you know, wrapping the body a certain way, or doing these things, which could be helpful. All these things could be very helpful. But what I think, and personally, this is something that's interested me my whole life, you know, in growing up, and similar to what you describe, talking about your inner life felt like something that you just couldn't do, or people looked at you like, you're so weird.
Yes.
But the thing is that, you know, if with a couple of questions or just a little bit of time, you know, I learned that everyone has an inner life. Everyone has their own thoughts. But I think that so many of us are trying very hard to fit into the world, to do what we need to do, to build on the promises that we're forced to make. You know, that's kind of
Yes, and that's why I feel like, as a grandmother now, to hold the wisdom of what we know as elders, to share with the younger ones, because it is difficult. Life can be very, very difficult, because being authentic and different didn't feel safe, you know, especially if you're raised in a, you know, type of environment where there's certain, like a Catholicism, or, you know, maybe Mormonism or whatever ism there is. So I feel that the more we can give permission for people to be who they truly are, and really encourage that. I was thinking about this interview this morning, and I was thinking, like, what is it that starts this programming? And you know, we smile at our kids, and we're like, oh my God, they're smiling. Oh, they're this, oh, they're that. Uh-huh. And we start to program so early, and so to just catch ourselves, to say, you know, allow that child to be a freer and expressive in their own way without having to categorize it or name it. When I had my third child, I remember making a commitment to not try to teach him.
Okay.
Like, oh, that's the sky. The sky is blue. Oh, that's this. This is that. You know, and so that he actually could live in a greater, you know, awareness of his own environment, his own being. And it really was a great choice, I think, because when he grew up, like, like in a such a beautiful way. And my other two children are really, really connected to spirit and connected to, you know, their inner life as well. So I think just parenting, conscious parenting, where you're really awake and really realizing how much your word means to that child and how they're going to respond and react to that is really important for growth.
Oh my goodness, yes, because that's the beginning of our lives, is the adults that are taking care of us, and we have to trust them. We have to trust them with everything. I mean, it's an amazing thing, the way that we're born. You know, we're, you know, completely helpless. I mean, we depend entirely on, you know, other people to for our survival. And
can you imagine, my mother had 13 children
too. Oh my goodness.
And so with that, you know, you start to think, how could, and I had three, and I thought, wow, that's so much. And I used to think back, it's like, no wonder we didn't have, you know, that one-on-one. No wonder we didn't feel special or, you know, important, because there was no time for that. So that's, you know, it gave me a lot of peace later in life once I figured that out, where they did the very best they could. You know, that was their path and that was my path.
Yeah.
So everything, you know, everything is perfect. And I know that's one of the spiritual practices, is like, wow, if we could get to that, just so starting with that, everything is perfect and we're not victimized by anything, that this is something as a messenger from the universe for you.
Yeah. I've been working on that one for my whole life, I think. You know, it's like, you know, that kind of understanding. And, you know, I recently had a conversation with a Buddhist monk who was a Geshe. It's like a PhD in Tibetan Buddhism. And the takeaway I have, which relates to what you were just saying, is that what we need to do in training our minds and how to approach reality is, like, if we get a bump on the head, it's like, you know, my reaction is to get angry. It's like, oh my, what was that doing? Oh my God. And I stomp around. It's like, oh my God, my head hurts. But the monk was saying, like, that's a choice. That's a training. That's a way of doing it. What if you just said, I need to put some ice on that. And that's all it was to it, you know, and you didn't have the reaction and you just go through accepting that, well, that just happened. And now I do this, that these are ways that we can change how we approach the world. But the other thing is that I learned all these things from the people I was with. I learned these reactions from the world I was in, but I always knew deep inside there was a different way, but finding that different way, that's been the trouble. And so you're helping people find that different way.
Yes. it's like people that have gone through deep trauma, whether it be, you know, accidents or disease or sexual abuse, all those things, those are the teachers. Those are our teachings. And when we can master those teachings and realize how perfect they are and were for us to be here at this point in time now, then my understanding is we now have a responsibility for our fellow beings to assist. And it's such a remarkable thing, because like attracts like. And what happened was, when I had cancer and I didn't know I had cancer, the vibration of cancer was in my field. All these people started coming to me with cancer. And I thought, wow, that's interesting. There's so many people, and I was working with grandmother plant medicine, which is ayahuasca. And I served that medicine for 13 years. I had a practice where I helped people. So they kept coming. And what had happened was I was in a deep meditation. This is prior to the ayahuasca. And I could, spirit, in this meditation, would say, we're gonna vibrate certain frequencies. You're going to tone it, the frequency, and then when it matches whatever frequency of the malady in the person's body, then it's going to go through your right ear and then come out your left ear, and there's going to be a coherence,
oh,
a resonance.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, okay. So I started practicing it, and I would scan the person's body. I would hear through the right ear the frequency, and then I would tone it. And then all of a sudden, the parts of my body would start having some sort of almost like a frequency,
yeah,
match, like a match.
Uh-huh.
And I was working with a woman. So this was during an ayahuasca journey. I was working with a woman, and when I got to her breasts, the frequency, and it started vibrating in my breasts. And I said to myself, either she has breast cancer or I have breast cancer. And that's how I diagnosed. And then, and of course, I went to get mammograms, and then I had a biopsy, and it was verified. So I realized, wow, we are literal mirrors for one another, you know, as human beings.
Amazing.
So whatever you're sending the frequencies out of your energetic field, and I'm picking it up, or, mm-hmm, and vice versa. And that's when I realized that all is one and one is all. This was the saying that I kept getting. This was the teaching I was getting. And I thought, oh, okay, so if I heal myself, then I'm going to help heal others, with the intention of that purpose. So I literally, when I worked with my own cancer, I knew as I was healing, I was thinking about all the other women or men, anyone with cancer, that frequency and vibration, if I heal it within me, will be sent out into the all is one, one is all field.
My goodness. When you explain it like that, that part of it seems essential to being in that awareness, that healing awareness, that it's not just you. It's the soup of all of us that you're, right, that you're generating in.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I'm like, what? Okay.
So, it's so fascinating to me because, you know, if you drop a pebble into a still pond and it just ripples. Mm-hmm. And I kept envisioning that during my cancer walk of 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I met so many people with cancer, and I thought, wow, you know, this is such an opportunity for each and every one of us to heal ourselves, and we heal others.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I just got a moment of clarity about that. And that is that it seems like the attitude of healing is more effective when it's not self-centered. That's something. So I can focus on healing myself, and I can just like go into it and say like, okay, all right, I got this pain in my stomach. I'm just going to stop it. You know, I'm going to fix that. And maybe that'll work. But this power that you're talking about, it's like, I really want to understand it. It's connecting with a healing that is all pervasive. Yeah. It's like a let's just call it the spirit of healing. I don't know. I'm just something I'm trying to, you know, grasp right now.
We can only heal ourselves.
Okay.
Yes, we have outside help if we need help. Mm-hmm. But we literally, when you can align your being to that frequency of healing, and you intentionally know that your healing will affect the all. So as the one,
okay,
you are literally, and so it's very important to be a bit self-centered about it, because
okay,
this is your life and this is your health and your wellness. So when you can actually know that your being and the importance of your health and wellness will affect all those in the field.
Mm-hmm.
So that frequency, let's just say you're vibrating at a very dense, you know, cancer has a frequency. When I was resonating. It's like, it's very jagged. It's very like, it feels like something you don't want in your body.
Right.
So let's just say you are highly aware that you have cancer or any other disease, and you can match that frequency and then raise that frequency. So that means you're healing your physical being from a dense to a higher frequency, and you're literally doing it with intention and with the knowing that you are part of the all. You are part of the primordial soup, if you will. And so whatever that frequency is that you can raise, you're going to match. So there's that resonance, remember, that we talked about,
right?
Coherence and resonance.
Yeah.
And then if you can up level that, mm-hmm. then you're literally leaving that frequency to come to this frequency. And it'll affect all beings.
All beings. I want to share quickly, though, that in recent years, I've grown in the awareness of how my thoughts and feelings that I maybe even try to keep to myself, and so that no one else even knows what I'm thinking or feeling, because I don't want to bother anyone with it. Because I'm constantly learning and growing, I became acutely aware, painfully aware actually, that I'm affecting other people I'm trying not to, but it's affecting everyone around me, because I'm holding something in, I'm thinking something that's, I'm frustrated. And so whatever it is, people close to me are experiencing it.
That's
right. I become aware of this, and it bothered me a lot because I wasn't sure when I first realized this what to do about it.
I used to test that, Alan, with ceremony and sacred plant medicine. I would send a thought. Uh-huh. I'd call it a thought form.
Okay.
I think they call them egregories.
Yeah.
Egregory is the word. A thought form into the field.
Yeah.
And I would just watch, and I'd keep feeding it, like, ooh, keep thinking that thought. And then all of a sudden people would say, this is what I'm getting. And it was the same thing. And I thought, whoa, this is such a powerful magnetism that actually happens. And so that if you're not in alignment with your true self, mm-hmm. and you start having these thoughts, you're going to attract that to you I always call it, you know, the messenger. They're mirror messenger. They're here to show you. And so once we can come to a place of divine joy and happiness that we are here for an incredible purpose, we're the only one here for that purpose. You are unique. You know, we may not be special in that sense, but we're absolutely unique. No one else is doing you. I love that saying. How does it go? It's like, be yourself, because everyone else is taken, or something.
Yeah, no, that's good. Right.
So, and you can't hide. You can't hide your thoughts.
No, not
so
really.
And what I say is think them, and then observe it. What is that? Why is that thought coming in? Mm-hmm. The inner inquiry is the greatest gift. And I'm not talking about being so self-conscious, but I'm talking about being self-aware,
okay.
self-realized that you know you're going to affect the field. You're mm-hmm. going to, no matter what. And you've been in places where you've walked in and you've been joyful, and all of a sudden you see everybody else just kind of like, whoa, mm-hmm. or you've been like really feeling crappy, and you get come in and then the everything kind of.
Right. Yes.
So yes. This is the responsibility, the self-responsibility and the self-care to make sure we know thyself, that we know and become truly who we are, who we were meant to be. You know, clearing, I always say clear the programming first. That's mm-hmm. the first part, is like clearing all those lies that were either projected upon us, whether it be school, parents, government, whatever. Get clear in your own sovereign self. then mm-hmm. you're going to vibrate, because it's almost like a lot of errant radio waves coming through you, you right. know, and you're going to be affected by it, right? Because right, right. it's happening all the time. So if you become very clear and sovereign, you can radiate at a frequency much higher, and then you're no longer in that world of muck and density. You're in a higher plane of this is my world.
That is like exactly, that sounds like the formula that I've heard in different ways, told in with different terminology, of how we're somehow we have whatever it is, an energetic imposition that we're entangled with, right? Mm-hmm. And that the challenge for all of us is to become aware of our own true self, and to allow that to engage with everything around us. But it's okay. I think though that these are for people who have been through it, it's kind of easy to talk about in a way.
Yeah.
But for someone who is, you know, having troubles, not feeling well, being depressed, can't get rid of these negative thoughts, I mean, because I know that there's like steps. Sometimes there's difficulties. Sometimes there's things like, I mean, it's like there can be like a extreme experiences actually to break through. You want to talk about that in general, maybe with some of the people you've worked with, what people might have experienced in becoming free? What's that experience like?
So I've worked with sacred plant medicines because they actually have the possibility of breakthroughs that are, you know, where you can literally see your part in all of it, rather than being a victim to it.
Okay.
And so these plant medicines came to me through various ways of initiation. And I work right now with what people call psilocybin, but mm-hmm. it's in our world, it's Santos Niños, which is the holy children, okay. or the sacred children. And I love that because after the ayahuasca experience of the grandmother, this master teacher, she was, I mean, hard-hitting, incredible breakthroughs that were happening. For 13 years, I walked with that medicine and saw the most incredible shifts and changes, healings of magnitude of, you know, overnight things happen.
Wow.
Because when we wake up to the truth, we are no longer fettered with all that brought us down to the lower frequency. Mm-hmm. So you reach that higher frequency, whether it be, you know, this incredible knowing that we are all one, and that we do matter, and that everything that we've gone through has been a teaching rather than a punishment.
Right.
So things that would happen. So with the Santos Niños, I am working with people not only in a hero's journey, which is, you know, a very big step in their life, and it's a soul remembrance mm-hmm. of who they are.
Yeah.
But it's also with microdosing, mm-hmm. so with people with depression or people with, you know, trauma that has not been either recognized. Many times people have, their minds have been able to, you know, shelter themselves. And so they don't know what's wrong,
right.
what happened.
Right, right.
So remembrance. And sometimes with ayahuasca or something, like peyote or huachuma, you know, sometimes those openings are just too fast and too great. You know, how do I deal with it now that I know,
right,
what happened to me? And so what I love now is just taking a very slower approach, getting someone to a place where they're just opening to their self-realization. They're opening to maybe their past trauma patterns and so forth. So I sit with them, mm-hmm. Take that first 2 hours, and then, you know, we talk about intentions. I start with mantras or something that they can start repeating for themselves. I've had situations where people have had inoperable cancer, and even without any medicine, what I call sacred plant medicine, just mantras where they start training their brain and telling themselves, I am perfectly healthy, or whatever it may be, whatever that mantra is. And they've written it out on their mirrors, you know, in their car, in their kitchen, wherever it is. And they just keep repeating it to themselves. It's like telling the mind. It's almost like a Jedi mind. These are not the droids.
Yeah. I know. That's right. So it's a retraining of the mind. You know, the plant medicine, I'm really interested in the fact that obviously you've had mentoring. It sounds like you've had some very specific kind of training to work with these medicines, and an awareness and respect for what they are and the spirit that they bring. But I also know that there's science I'm aware of, you know, that supports what you're talking about. That certain like psilocybin, for instance, over these psychoactive, especially the natural occurring ones, that they actually increase neuroplasticity. That in these experiences, that you're actually growing new brain stuff.
Yes.
So it's like exponentially more important to have those experiences safe and guided. And I think that that's what, you know, I hear a lot of people who try this and say, oh my God, that was just crazy. But it feels like that, well, you're kind of playing with something really powerful, and that it needs to be a much safer sort of, and it sounds like that's what you're offering.
It's the sacredness of it.
Okay.
Because we are holy beings. Okay. We are literally made, cut from the same cloth. We are all sacred beings. And it's more of a remembering and waking up of the soul's remembrance of why we are here. Mm-hmm. And when we can get to that place in a slower way, where we start to see the opening of our sacredness, and we start to see the opening of our uniqueness, then we're no longer having to prove anything. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that we have to do to be worthy to receive it. And so my teachings, if you will, and I don't call myself a teacher, really. I just share what I have been gifted. Mm-hmm. And the medicine is one of the key ingredients to open up the doorway. And if it's done in a way of ceremony and prayer and intention, it's fast. I mean, it is so remarkable to me what I have seen with people just waking up to the truth of their being, and that all their past becomes the teaching rather than the pain and suffering.
Right.
That makes sense. It's like, wow, I was literally gifted all of that. It's just a switch. It's like, turn that switch, flip it is what I say, into that being the gift. Those were the gifts. And I know it's hard. Sometimes people, you know, I tread carefully when I know there's people that are in very victim mode, you know, because
right.
It happens to me. It keeps happening to me. You know, this happened, that happened. And I'm like, who's the central character here? You know, that's you. It's happening for you, not to you. And, you know, people say, I have to do this. I have to do that. And then what if we just said, I get to do that. I get to do that.
Right.
So just have to get to. It's happening to me. It's happening for me. There's certain just phrases that start to feed the soul and say, that feels aligned. That feels resonant to me. And so the sacred plant medicine, we don't need the sacred plant medicine in the sense that to find self-realization. Mm-hmm. It is an incredible, beautiful tool and vehicle. And I love the ones that are from nature, because these have very specific spirits.
Okay.
Like, the grandmother medicine is very different than the Santos Niños medicine. It's very different. And just seeing how the relationship with that medicine in the native cultures, we always talk about, you know, grandmother medicine or grandfather medicine or, you know, Santos Niños. So there's a relationship. And so that's the spirit of the medicine. And that's really, really important. So I've seen over the last 20 some years, just this almost like a fad, almost like, oh, I've done my ayahuasca journey, or I've done this, or I've done that. Almost like you're checking a box.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about.
That to me is where the danger happens, where people will have experience. They can't actually align with that experience, and it becomes very dangerous. And so I recommend people to work with medicine people that are truly here, that have been initiated with these plant medicines to help humanity. And it's not, you know, this business of, you know, doing something. It's absolutely aligning with the grandmother within yourself or grandfather within yourself. It's nothing outside of you. So for me, it's a wake up to the remembrance of who we are.
Remembrance of who we are. Akashiana, this has been an amazing conversation. I feel like that we could just talk about this all day, but for the respect of time to our listeners, I'm just going to call there. Thank you so much for joining me today. I really love our conversation, and I've learned a lot. And so here we go. And that is all for this episode of Audible River. And to you who are listening, I would love to know your thoughts about our podcast. So please feel free to email me at audibleriverpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.